and Mark Lawson for tonight's Front Row.
Hello, remember that artworks can go up as well as down. The London Stock Exchange reopens with a moving experience. When the Queen opened the Tate Modern Gallery, the curators had to arrange a convoluted route to avoid the monarch coming face to face with any controversial pieces. When Elizabeth II opened the new Stock Exchange building in the City of London today, there was no way of diverting her eyes from a major artwork commissioned for the building. It stands in the middle of the central lobby. But this strange and striking piece would be unlikely to offend the Queen, unless as the holder of a huge investment portfolio, she prefers not to be reminded of the volatility of stocks. The source, by the collaborative artist Grey World, consists of 729 white glass spheres, resembling giant pickled onions or lychees, arranged in layers in a glass cage. Each ball can rise separately on a wire which stretches to the top of the 32-metre atrium. Coloured lights, figures and news headlines reflect from the shifting shapes as they form different patterns. I talked to the main movers and shakers behind the source, Adriana Pace and Andrew Schoban, the founder of Grey World, who talked me through the business of the installation.
There's three states to their day, if you like. The beginning is based around the start of day event for the market. As the London Stock Exchange markets open at 8 o'clock, the perfect cube begins its trajectory. The top layer peels off and gradually each sphere shoots up the cables, filling the atrium. There's also the closing of the market, which is about 4:30. The noise, those particles that are in the atrium, slowly reform into their sleeping state and leave just the price of the FTSE, when whether it's up or down on the day, hovering in the air at 10 or 12 metres in size. But during the day for us, which is probably the most important state, is what we call the dream time, which is when the sculpture is responding to the world's media. It's grabbing headlines and news, it's grabbing top stories, and it's using that to generate headlines, a little bit like a kind of a modern totem pole, if you like, grabbing headlines and swirling them and rotating them in the atrium.
The idea is that it can also combine these with a library of what we're terming primitive forms, which are basic geometric shapes, but also more complicated three-dimensional forms. For example, the silhouette of a man can elegantly work his way up the atrium. And we're interested in also the way one shape can dissolve into another and then can, out of that, can rise some text. So it's also those transitions which interest us.
And you say there's a library. Now, this is the key question, and I mean, I think, obviously, at the moment in Doctor Who when he opens a door and there's this brain on a stick that is running the whole world, and you want to know how it's thinking. So the headline comes through, which is Philip Green says, I'm going to buy Marks & Spencer's after all. What happens then? How does this thing know what to do?
What we've done with the installation, rather than include all the possibilities that we want, we've excluded certain things that we don't want. So what we've done is exclude a few keywords, but largely
which would be things like terrorism, disaster.
No, absolutely not. No, there's no bad news filter. It'll, you know, it's as likely to say that the terrible massacre that went on in Madrid as it is to say that, you know, Marks and Spencer's has been taken over. But what we are sort of keen to do is not infer anything by juxtaposition of text. But during the day, really, it has a free rein to generate and keep manipulating incoming news feeds as they happen.
But you're being very vague about, I hate to use the word thinking, but as to what drives all this. So what is the relationship between the shapes it will take and the news that comes in?
It's in two ways, really. There's a textural element. Obviously, we're looking at physical words, but there's also squares, circles, cubes, oblongs, that kind of thing. Now, I mean, there is no direct correlation between those things and the headlines. But what there is a library of these shapes, which can be, if you like, mated together to form new shapes based on its activity level. So as we work through a day with, you know, a huge number of top stories, then the activity of the sculpture itself will generate in different ways. When the market is quiet, when the news the world is less turbulent, then the sculpture itself is also much more calm and more placid.
Now, after this fantastic description, I can't wait. Can we get it moving?
Certainly.
The 720 globes, the top layers, have started to rise up to the vast height of this atrium. And they're going up in what look like irregular patterns. There are single spheres moving, sometimes meeting others. So the thing it looks most like, which I assume is deliberate, is it looks most like an atomic diagram. Have you ever seen a computer generation of atoms joining together, breaking and falling, except they're all white, whereas in other depictions they tend to be coloured. And now, again, you think of if you've stood on the ground and watched balloons being released at a sporting event,
And funny, I have to ask the horror movie question. Yeah. I mean, in a horror movie, it would get out of control and take over the stock exchange and indeed perhaps the City of London. There is no risk?
No. The Queen asked the question very nicely of her. She said, if you've got such a pretty sculpture, will anybody do any work? Are they more likely just to stand here and watch what it's doing? I suppose that's a risk that they're just going to have to handle.
Andrew Schoban and Adriana Pace on their startling artwork, The Source, which could be seen in the lobby of the new London Stock Exchange.